This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Donnie Football in for the guys on this New Year's Day 2026 edition of the PM team here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Dom DiTommaso is behind the glass as we are approaching the winner-take-all matchup in the AFC North Sunday night, Acrisure Stadium, 8:20 kickoff. We will have Fan Game Day for you live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook from 5 until kick on Sunday. Myself, Jeff Hathorn, Mark Cabali, stop by, say hello to us if you are going to the game Sunday night. I know that there was a conversation earlier, Dom, the midday show today. It was Jack Hillgrove. Logan Arblaster was producing for him. Logan has been on a kick for there to be a blackout theme in the crowd for that game Sunday night, which is always a pretty neat look. You think back to the Pirates playoff games in 2013. You think to what I thought was cool when the Penguins would do the whiteouts. They were way cooler than the gold rush that they would do. Whiteouts and blackouts always look way cooler from a crowd. So that would be kind of neat if that kind of got the ball rolling. They should do the block number uniforms too. Go the full Mountie on this thing. You get the gold end zones, block numbers. No way they lose the game in that case. Sunday night football at home. Ray Fittipaldo joins the show at 5:15. TRT at 5:30. A couple of topics on X that you can go vote on, formerly known as Twitter. Just under 40 minutes remaining in the voting there. Both coordinators talk today. Will it be the final time they talk this season? We will play some of what each Arthur Smith and Terrell Austin said today, a little read and react to what the coordinators said to the Steelers media. So we start with Arthur Smith, the Steelers OC, earlier today.
Are you have the fourth and one, and then you also have a third and one near midfield that turned into a third and six with the penalty. Can you walk us through the whens and the whys of when you do the push and when you keep your regular personnel out there?
Yeah, I mean, the first one, if you remember, we took a timeout and we had called for it. And then there was a timeout, you know, so tried to be a little more aggressive. We had talked it through. So obviously it didn't work in our favor. But, yeah, those are discussions as we come over there because we had taken the timeout. And then the third and one, we're in a hurry up. And then, obviously, we got called for the false start. But that was, you know, I have to reflect, and I get it because it's the first time, you know, I talk, and it's several days after the game. But that was kind of the story of the game. I mean, we had way too many self-inflicted wounds for many reasons. Had plenty of opportunities. You got to give Cleveland credit. But that's really what went on. I mean, you move the ball, and then, you know, some of the situational stuff. We had too many negative plays when we were on track or field position after big plays, and we didn't overcome it. So, but that's why you got to – those are all every week, tough lessons learned, whether you win or lose. And the reality is we have a huge opportunity and big game Sunday night.
Did not having Darnell impact the decision to use the tush push or Spartan play at all?
No, you got backups for all of that. So, I mean, just live with the consequences. I mean, you call things. I mean, you know, we had our third counter punch off that we had used earlier in the game, the one that Connor got 29 yards on. And he's done a terrific job with that stuff. And, but yeah, I mean, those are there's risk in every play call. And as you go through it and strategy and works, it's in your favor. But obviously you look back on those things. I mean, that's every week, whether you win or lose.
You say your backups. I mean, Darnell's obviously a unique human being in terms of the size. He is. For the jumbo package, for what you're talking about, Spartan, whatever it is. Is it just plug next man up, or is it like, you know, Connor Hayward's not Darnell Washington? They're both tight ends. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, I mean, but you know, if you want to continue to use things, you have to have contingency plans. And so, not going to give away what that is. I mean, we'll have something different from Baltimore. Sure, they'll show us some new things Sunday, and that's a game kind of play. But yeah, you have to have contingency plans. I mean, there's certain things, you know, you lose two guys, you're out of certain things for sure. But that's what happens when you get injuries in games or guys go out. You know, trying to make it too complicated. Sometimes it's one for one, or sometimes you got to move two guys. I mean, there was a lot of that going on during the game. But that's every week. You better have those plans.
That is something that they should not go away from. I know that Darnell Washington is a big part of that, but they have to find some way to be able to run that Spartan package with Connor Hayward. I like the little wrinkles that they have worked into that too, where Hayward doesn't always just go with the typical tush push. Sometimes he takes it off tackle. He goes outside like he did on Sunday against the Browns. There have been times where they've given the ball to Kenneth Gainwell. That has been a really nice wrinkle. They have to find a way to keep that play or keep that formation available to them on Sunday night, even without Darnell Washington in the game.
Guys did the Ravens last time was attacking downfield against man coverage and seeing that they've gone to more zone since then, but then you guys didn't do so well against man coverage last week. Do you feel like the Ravens are just going to be...
Well, I think you take it. I mean, obviously, the results are they are, but, you know, the first thing, I mean, it's easy, the easy part is that, oh, it was just man is why. I mean, you know, you look at things schematically, where guys getting open. Yes, I mean, there's multiple reasons sometimes. I mean, that Cleveland does a terrific job. You know, you don't see a lot of people getting to number two or whatever. I mean, they've done it all year, and it's not just Miles. I mean, they got to give that whole defense a lot of credit, which they don't get, but they should. It's a very, very violent pass rush. So all year, you don't see a lot of people holding that football against Cleveland. So that's some of it. You know, second, third down we had of the game, and the second one that counted, we got the OPI. You know, we have a scheme, and it's a subjective call, and a big play to Scotty. And there was a couple other things. You take the one-on-one on that fourth and one, where we had a inside rub. I hate sometimes going there because it sounds like excuses or you're blaming somebody else, but that's the game you play. And sometimes, man, it's not always just one-on-ones outside. I mean, people do that all those things as you're trying, and they try to show man alignments, give you zone, bail out. Baltimore does it every defense. That's kind of dime a dozen now in the NFL. And every week, you know, third down, you know, a lot of people like to play numbers, and this is what they do. But when you get veteran quarterbacks and you got guys like Aaron, every week third down has been a Rolodex. That's just what it is. I mean, everybody, their strategy against different quarterbacks, and that's a credit to him. And it'll be the same thing Sunday night against Baltimore.
Mark, the attempt to replace number four, is that a failure or was it progress made?
Depends on what you define as failure. I mean, if you define failure as we didn't win the game, yes. In my perspective, I mean, the guys stepped up in different ways. Again, it goes back to your question. Sometimes it's not one for one. You know, the results are what they are. But, you know, we had guys get open. You know, we didn't make play. I mean, that's really the story of the two games. I mean, you look at the first Cleveland game, we made a couple big plays. And obviously DK, you know, did It's one-on-ones. You know, the issue wasn't moving the ball. The issue was when we got in that fringe and scoring, we found different ways. And, again, some of it sounds like excuses. I don't want to take anything from Cleveland, but that's really what happened. I mean, it would have taken was a couple of plays in that game we didn't make. You see that in divisional games all the time. I mean, you look at Cincinnati the first time they played Baltimore on Thanksgiving. Then they got shut out. These divisional games are really every week in the NFL. You got to, you know, make the play. And when you don't, you know, you always look at things schematically. If you want to define it as failure or not, but I think the guys did, you know, try to execute, try to find different ways to replace that when it's never necessarily just one for one, if that makes sense to you.
Coach, what were you looking for in the
goal-to-go situation? Oh, you're talking about the end of the game?
Yeah.
Well, you're playing the thing. I mean, you got no timeouts. Obviously, trying to score. You know, we got to that second and seven, so we had three at the seven. Still enough time. If something was underneath, you could get another playoff if your logistics are right. But different ways. I mean, there was man coverage again, and couple things, different things happen. You know, the last one, I thought he had a good look. I thought Quez ran a good route.
See, I don't think the play calling was the issue necessarily in the goal-to-go situation at the end of the game. I do think that was a case where, you know, even the best quarterbacks do this. You know, as great as Aaron Rodgers is in the history of the NFL, I mean, you saw in film cut-ups, or even maybe noticing live as the game was happening, he had better options on a couple of those plays other than MVS. One of those final plays on the goal-to-go situation, Kenneth Gainwell had a walk-in touchdown if he hits him coming out of the backfield. He chipped Myles Garrett, so he did his purpose there, and then he snuck out of the backfield. He would have walked in to the end zone, and they would have been down to a PAT to tie the game or a two-point try to possibly win it.
Bolton, Garway.
Coach, last game, you only had 34 yards rushing. What could you
talking about Baltimore last game?
Yes, last game against Baltimore. You've been running the ball better.
Correct.
Since then. However, what can you do for this game to do a lot better running the ball?
It depends, again, back to the subjective. Do you feel like that was a failure when you win the game and you only have 34 yards?
Well,
I'm just putting these hypotheticals out there. So here's what I'm saying. No, here's what I'm saying is we didn't come out trying to run the ball a lot. Now, we did run it okay at times, and then a lot of it, you can take the stats and cut them up every one. A lot of them were situational, short yardage. We converted a lot of, right? We had the red zone run. And, again, you know, there's always things you can be better at. Yeah, you'd love to run it for, you know, consistently close the game out, those type of things. It'll be a different strategy Sunday night. We'll let Baltimore figure that out. But we came out of that game, you know, very aggressive, pushing the ball down the field. They'll have a different defensive plan. We'll have a different offensive plan. But every week, yeah, you want to be balanced and like to run the ball well. So, again, I'm not going to give away our strategy.
Just as a follow-up, I asked that question because I would think that they're expecting you to run since you don't have DK Metcalf.
Maybe.
You don't have the downfield.
Maybe. No, but I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things that can go on, a lot of variables. I mean, I always appreciate the questions because you guys want answers to things, but sometimes I just don't think it's smart strategy to give away what we're going to try to do Sunday. Just like whenever Zach Orr has to talk, I'm sure he's not going to give away their third down plan or if they've got any new – you know, fronts or coverages they want to deploy.
Is this a burn the boats type of week with the game plan?
You'd like to, you know, sure. I mean, anytime you're looking at, it's a playoff game for us. Our playoffs start a week earlier. I mean, that's another way to look at it. It's always an interesting case of human psychology because, you know, when people start looking at the future or whatever. But week to week, you know, you need to have that mentality. You need to have that focus, and that's what you're all trying to strive for. And a lot of it's about being in the present, understanding that anything could happen. I mean, you know, you lose Darnell on one play, so you never know, you know, what can happen on every play. It could be your last play or whatnot. But we know this is a playoff game. Obviously, the intensity is high every week in the NFL. It'll be a great atmosphere. It doesn't get bigger than this. Sunday Night Football, last game of the regular season, Ravens Steelers.
You guys drew up a lot of concepts where it seemed like, you know, Thielen and Prime were playing off each other in the middle to try to create conflicts in the middle of the defense. But it seemed like the time that Aaron really went after was in the no huddle, but like on the fourth and one where he went.
Some of it's the coverage. They gave us two man on the one that Pat had down the middle, so the middle field's open.
Right.
So the coverage dictates a lot of that too.
Right. Are those situations where you want that to be a primary read, or is that just
It goes back to the coverage. What coverage are you playing? I'm not trying to be smart aleck, but that's usually what happens. They're playing in too high and trying to play man underneath. The middle of the field's open. Defenders got to, don't want to get beat inside. Pat made a hell of a move. Nodding that guy and hit the big play down the middle because it just split safety and the man underneath. So that's where the ball went. And then some of them, when you get post-high, if they got help inside, the ball goes outside. Or, like I said, the play that we had to Scotty, it came from inside, and he was at two and went down the sideline. So there's a lot of ways to attack it. And a lot of times the coverage dictates the read too. Same thing when they pop out, and Scotty had a big conversion to adjust the zone when they're trying to show man. And those are the games everybody plays on third down.
Are there gaps from this year's pullers and things like that? What about your personnel or maybe the defensive meta, the trends in the league, has maybe allowed you guys to lean into more of that than just the usual heavy zone stuff?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it's with your personnel. We all of our guys, I think, pull pretty well, play in space. That helps. You don't want to get stale. And then sometimes you go back to the basics, the two big runs we had against Detroit were zone schemes, kind of core plays. Sometimes what's old and new.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Again, we ran a day one install play that cut the defense in half, and Jalen, with Connor in the eye, that went for a big play, and then we, went back to the edge off the wing for the other one that went, so it's a mix and match, and some of it's what they're playing schematically, but, you try to evolve, and the one thing we've got is for guys that we have a lot of size up front, but they also play in space well.
Arthur, Aaron was saying yesterday, if you look at his career, he doesn't have stinkers back-to-back. What does his experience bring to this prep and this type of matchup coming off a bad game and into a winner go-home?
There's not many people played the quarterback position like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just look at that game Sunday. You've seen it all season in different ways, regardless of the score. You're never out of the fight with him at quarterback, so obviously the thing wasn't going our way. Still had a chance at the end to win the game. And I think you see a lot when you get in those moments. He gets the ball back. Obviously, there's initial disappointment when we didn't get it on that four and out, but we still had life, and I've watched him do that now up close. Did it in New York, week one. Did it in that Cincinnati shootout we got in the first NC game. the ball damn was there in the air, 70 yards. You almost saw another Hail Mary on Thursday night. He's a special player. That's all I can say. So, you know, we got to play our best football. Got a lot of faith, and we'll get Baltimore's best. So we're looking forward to that challenge.
There we go. Arthur Smith with the Steelers media from earlier today. That final question there about Aaron Rodgers not having bad games back-to-back. Historically, over the course of what will be a first ballot Hall of Fame career. Before we get to Ray Fittipaldo, let's listen to a couple of minutes of Terrell Austin. We can't get through this whole thing, but let's listen to a few minutes from the Steelers DC.
This rushing attack, you know, you guys were able to contain Derrick Henry, but they broke out for about 200 yards. And since then, you guys have allowed the fewest rushing yards in the last 3 weeks. There was a big charge this offseason to fix the run defense. Is there a sense that, like, this specific test is a culmination of all the work that you guys have put in, both personnel-wise and schematic-wise?
Well, I think those tests, they come every week. And, you know, the last 3 weeks we've lived up to the test, and you know, tomorrow, or excuse me, Sunday will be another test, and we'll see if we live up to it. And that's really the goal. To say we've arrived at anything in this league, I'll never say that, because you always got to fight your tail off to be on top and to try to be, you know, win the circumstance, win the situation, win the game. So we just have another, you know, we look at it like, hey, we got another chance to try to be better than we were last week, this week, and that's our goal.
See, when you guys were looking at things, you know, with the run defense this offseason, Derek Harmon was probably the biggest move you made. Obviously, I mean, Mike's had some fun with the numbers of when he's in versus when he's out, but did you see when you were looking at him the ability to have that kind of impact as a rookie? And how rare is that to have a big guy like that be able to come in and play as well as he has right away?
Well, we thought he'd have an impact. That's why we drafted him. We knew he was very talented. We knew he would be able to do, from a skill set wise, we knew he'd be able to do all the things we'd ask him to do. How fast that happens, you know, that's usually up to the player. So, it's not unexpected. We're glad he's doing it. We're pleased he's doing it. And, you know, in that perspective, we didn't miss out. It's good to see a young guy. Sometimes it's hard for young guys, but I think part of it is he has a pretty good room. We got a nice mix of vets and younger guys, and the vets have done a good job, I think, of helping our young guys assimilate to the NFL game, and I think that always helps. You know, it's not a bunch of young guys learning from young guys, because sometimes that's when you take some lumps. But if he's learning from old guys, and he's getting the lay of the land and how to do it, and he has the ability to do it, I think that's why you see a lot of improvement and a lot of, you know, good football play from them.
Along those lines, I mean, I get the sense that you and Coach Tomlin feel like it's not just Derek Harmon that makes the difference against the run. Like, what else is going right for you guys when you've been more solid against the run, other than just the run?
Well, I think when you're playing well against the run, I think when you look at your bigs up front, they're able to, you know, they're playing with their hands. They're not running sideways. They're knocking people back. I always try to make a point when we watch the tape of, you know, when we see good run defense and us playing good run defense, as we're watching the tape, I can see everybody's number. I can see the back of their number. I don't see sideways. I don't see them sides. I see them square, knocking people back. And I think that's really the big thing. That's really what's helped us, is when we're playing good defense, you can see it. You can see all of our guys. They're playing square. We're not running sideways, creating creases and holes. And so that's really the big thing that helps, you know, us play well. When our bigs are playing like that, our linebackers are able to play downhill, and it's a trickle effect. And again, our perimeter guys have to play well too. We don't have good run defense if our perimeter guys are not involved. And so I think in the last 3 weeks, our perimeter guys have done a good job in terms of being on the edge and tackling and not letting things get outside the defense.
So a little piece there, and that's where we'll cut it off with Terrell Austin, since we have Ray Fittipaldo coming up in just about 2 minutes from now. But he's mentioning guys like Joey Porter Jr. on the edge of that defense. People, it seems like an easy crutch for people to harp on Joey Porter Jr. as a tackler, but this is something I will ask Ray about. We talked to Nick Farabaugh about it last hour. He has had a really strong second half of the season, and I'm much more concerned with how a corner does his first job of covering receivers than I am with how physical he is when it comes to tackling, how physical he is in the run game. It's nice if he has that part of his game, but I would also rather have a guy take away part of the field. And Porter really has, he's been having to try even harder to kind of buck the trend of the traps he fell into in his first couple of seasons, where he would get those sloppy penalties called on him. That hasn't happened as much this season, and it hasn't happened really at all in the back half of this season. He has been a really strong part of that defense. All right, Ray Fittipaldo joins us in just a couple of minutes, about 15 minutes away from TRT. Hodgepodge finishes the show. Austin Bechtold has the fan evening show tonight starting at 6. You can join the conversation at 412-928-9370. That's also the number of the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray Fittipaldo next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette joins us to help recap another day of Steelers practice. Injury report is out. Both coordinators talked today. Ray, before we get into that, though, something that I didn't realize until a little bit ago, that it is 50 years to the day, January 1st, 1976, Apollo Creed against Rocky Balboa inside the Philadelphia Spectrum, Ray. And you, as a proud Italian man, you had to be pulling for Rocky on that night way back when.
Undoubtedly. I was 3 years old back then, but yeah, what a great moment in cinematic history.
Now, are you a fan of that whole series, Ray? Have you even gotten into the Creed movies? Where do you come down on the Rocky series?
Have not gotten into the Creed part of the series. I would say Rocky 1, Rocky 2 are the best. Rocky 3 was okay. Rocky 4 was okay. And Rocky 5, I don't know.
Yeah, Rocky 5 is that's normally, without question, the worst one. I'm surprised you only said okay to Rocky 4. That always seems like the hot pick to be everybody's favorite. I mean, it ended the Cold War. He takes down Drago. You know, he avenges Apollo's death. I'm surprised that only gets the okay ranking from you.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Rocky IV, and there was like some classic montages in there, and when he's like pulling the sleigh across the Arctic or wherever he was. But I just think Rocky I and Rocky II are classics. It's kind of like Godfather 1 and 2, right? Like, you can't really top the earlier ones in the series, even though you try.
Yeah, I mean, the first Rocky won Best Picture back in 1976. And then the second one, I know that these are, I mean, it's a movie. It's all theatrical. The second fight, though, between Apollo and Rocky, that always felt to me like the best actual boxing match.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first one was, they just beat the living snot out of each other. That one was actually, it was great drama, too. So, just the way it ended. So, yeah, for sure.
The other thing about those movies, the fights, I wasn't around way back when. Now, you're from closer to my dad's generation, when he would talk about the great state of heavyweight boxing, so maybe it was a little bit better to take in those movies way back when, because it's just not the same now. But it felt like those fights, if they were real fights, they wouldn't last all that long.
No, I mean, those fights would have been stopped, I think, like in the second or third round. But, yeah, I mean, like, Stallone did such a great job of wanting to be the actor. And he could have sold that movie, and, you know, somebody else better known would have starred in it. But I don't know if it would be the same movie without him. I mean, it did a terrific job writing it. but just his acting seems to make that movie as well. I just cannot imagine that movie with another actor. So kudos to him for like mandating that he was going to be the actor in that. Now he didn't make a lot of money initially, but eventually he did, but he definitely wanted to star in it as well. So I give him total credit for that.
Yeah. It seems like the casting, it's almost like with any great movie or series, you like can't imagine it being anybody else. Like Sly Stallone as Rocky was perfect. Carl Weathers as Apollo was perfect.
Yeah.
Unknown. Yeah, I mean, what's funny is that Pauly was the only guy who was a boxer in real life at some point. Did you know that?
I didn't know he was a real boxer. I knew he was a tough guy.
I think he was like an amateur boxer at some point, Burt Young.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, he makes the movie as much as Stallone does, but, and I'm forgetting her name now. I can't believe I'm forgetting her name.
Adrian.
Just how shy she was and just the way that part was written. I mean, just a classic.
Yeah. And Pauly, when they went to Russia in the fourth Rocky movie, which by the way, you spoke of the montages. I think, I saw somewhere once that movie is like 31% montages, which is pretty impressive for like a near 2 hour movie. His big concern was about getting to watch the Rose Bowl game, which is happening right now between Alabama and Indiana. Do the Steelers scouts have their eyes on this game, Ray? Certainly the quarterback for the Hoosiers is going to be a highly touted pick, but what about Ty Simpson for the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be invested in all of these college football playoff games. There's always a bunch of good players in there, but, you know, in terms of quarterbacks, listen, if they're going to pick anywhere from 18 to 32, you know, you're talking about having to make a major move to get one of the two or three guys. I mean, right now you're talking about probably Mendoza, maybe Dante Moore. If Dante Moore comes out, he hasn't announced it, has he?
No, I don't think.
So, I mean, those are probably the top two right now. I mean, that's going to change, you know, after the Senior Bowl and the Combine, there might be one or two more in there, but those are the top two guys now. There's so many teams that are going to be in front of them from 1 to 17 that need quarterbacks. I'm just thinking this is a year you get a receiver. I'm sure you talked about it yesterday, but kind of sound like Aaron left the door open to come back yesterday. So that's going to be a storyline as soon as the season ends. It's just not a great year for college quarterbacks. And, you know, we're sitting here last year at this time thinking it was going to be, and it's just not that. So we'll see how it all plays out. But, to answer your question, yes, they will be watching this game, but not just for the quarterbacks. There's a lot of other good players on both teams in this game.
Yeah, I did want to ask about the Aaron.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Rodgers' comments from yesterday, because you said he left the door open. That's absolutely what he did. I thought the comment that he made about, you know, it being the first year in the offense, you know, how he kind of made the comparison to the Matt LaFleur offense in Green Bay. And he said, well, I really got cooking in that second and third year. That's what made me think a little bit more about it, Ray, because that implies, well, if you give me another year or two in the Arthur Smith offense, who knows what I could cook up.
And honestly, Donnie, like, they've done a pretty good job of protecting him all season. I know he went to the ground and got hurt in that Bengals game, and he missed the Bears game. But other than that, he's going to play 16 games, which I think everyone was concerned about before the season, right? Like, everyone was kind of like, how long can they keep him upright? Well, they've done a pretty darn good job of doing that. So that's one thing to hang your hat on if you're Aaron Rodgers. I am quite sure, and when they sit down after the season, if Aaron does want to come back, receiver is going to be the biggest thing for him. You have to surround him with a better receiving core. And I know we talk about tight ends and Kenny Gainwell, and they've made it work this year. They're going to have a winning record. But you need something better than what they have right now. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. Like, if they got an answer from Aaron in January or February, you know, right, and they know what they want to do, they know he's going to come back, and they know what they want to do in the draft, I would not be shocked at all if they picked the receiver with their first-round pick. It is that much of a need for them right now. They just don't have anyone else besides DK Metcalf.
Do you think they would push him to make up his mind more quickly than what we got this past offseason, where he was just a free agent? You know, I mean, the ball was in his court to kind of wait around that long. They just wanted to wait that long with him.
Yeah.
Since he is a Steeler right now, do you think they might say, like, hey, man, at least let us know by the time we reach free agency so we have a real plan of attack here?
I mean, I would hope he would let them know before the middle of March. I mean, listen, Donnie, the draft isn't until, what, the last week in April?
Yeah, the 23rd.
So April 23rd. So, I mean, he could take it up longer than that, and the Steelers would just have to be lighter on their feet in terms of who they bring in for visits and what their plan is. So I'm not going to say he has to do it by free agency, but, I mean, ideally he would sit down with his wife after the season, like he said, and, you know, sit on the decision for 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks, and they would know by February. But, you know, he seemed to take his time last season, but I think that was a different situation. I think he knows what he's getting into now. He knows Arthur Smith is going to be back. We're presuming Mike Tomlin's going to be back. That's obviously probably the biggest, you know, domino for Aaron to come back. And after that, it would just be sitting down with Mike and say, hey, what do we have to do to get better? You know, he would definitely want some better pieces around him, I think, if he was going to come back. And, you know, we don't know what Mike's answer would be, but I would bet no matter who the quarterback is, they're going to add a receiver early in the draft. Because, like I said, MVS isn't going to be back. Thielen's not going to be back. You have no idea what you have in Roman Wilson, you know, which is a shame when he's going into this third NFL season. They need to stock that cupboard with some better players and then see if they can have a better year next year offensively. Even though they've been good at times this year, Donnie, I think last week before the Browns game, they were like number 11 in scoring. They're probably like 13, 14, 15 now. So they've been inconsistent there. And I think if they add another playmaker to the mix, I think there would be some potential to be a top 10 scoring offense in the NFL if you keep Aaron Rodgers upright.
I do want to get to Roman Wilson in just a moment. We're talking to Ray Fittipaldo. He covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Ray, it seems like Aaron Rodgers enjoys playing in Pittsburgh and or playing for the Steelers organization more than he even expected to coming in.
I would agree with that. You just watch him, and I've been around since OTAs now, and probably the best example is that just watching how he interacted with everyone at camp. I mean, you could tell by the end of camp that he kind of vibed with the way the Steelers did things, going away like the way they do. The Packers did something similar, you know, at St. Norbert. And there's a lot of similarities between the Packers organization, I think, in the Steelers organization in a lot of ways. And I think that that's been a good thing for Aaron. Like I said, the offensive line is good. That's a young group. That's only going to continue to get better. He loves Gainwell and Warren. You know, Warren's under contract for next year. You would think Gainwell would be, you know, one of their first priorities in the offseason. So a lot of things are set on offense if Aaron does come back. So we would just have to see what the price would be. You know, he is going to be a free agent. He only signed a one-year deal. Does he want more money now that he proved that he's a good fit? So they would have to do the, you know, do the math on that. But I've said all along, Donnie, if he wanted to come back, I think the Steelers are very, very open to having him come back.
Are you convinced that Roman Wilson is in a Steelers uniform next season?
Yeah, I think he'll be in a Steelers uniform next season, but he's going to have to get going here. You know, he hasn't been on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know if it's a lack of chemistry or if it's a lack of experience or, you know, one of the catchphrases or catchwords of the last 4 to 6 weeks was professionalism. Like with Thielen and MVS coming in, those are veterans who know what they're doing and they have that professionalism. So I don't want to read too much into that, like when Aaron would say that, but maybe Roman has to just become more of a vet, you know, maybe just, you know, become a little bit more mature, learn how to be a pro a little bit better. And I think, you know, he might have a better chance of getting onto the field. I was watching him today in practice. I mean, he's quick, he's fast. So I think that really is just the last aspect of his game that has to round into form. Just be a better pro, sort of learn the intangibles. You know, if you can do that, kind of be a better teammate. And I think he's got a chance to be a good player, but obviously not off to a good start here.
Ray, we will talk again tomorrow on a Football Friday. I am in for Joe. I mean, I'm always in on Fridays with him, but I believe Joe has off tomorrow, so we'll talk again. And maybe your thought on this will change, but at least as of right now, how do you feel like this game is going to go Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, Donnie, I will tell you this. They've done a really good job of putting that Browns game behind them. I was at practice yesterday and today in the locker room. Guys are really loose, and I kind of think that's a good thing. So I think that's something I was a little bit concerned about, like, right, the how do you get over such a bad loss when there was so much on the line? I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but if you had to ask me right now, I would say the Ravens by 3, maybe something like 20-17.
There we go. Ray Fittipaldo, a field goal game on Sunday night. Ray, we will talk again tomorrow around 11. Thanks for hopping on. Hope you have a great New Year's Day.
You too, Donnie. See ya.
There we go. Ray Fittipaldo from the PG. Coming up in just a moment, Total Request Thursday. And this baby came down to a dead heat. What are we going to talk about coming up next? We will let you know in mere moments. But first, a Dom headline on 93.7 The Fan. 5:32, time to make that smart call to Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Donnie Football in for the guys until 6. They will be back tomorrow. They will have Charlie Borges with them behind the glass. Dom DiTommaso with me right now. We will be all over the place tomorrow. Dom will be back to producing the Fan Morning Show. He will be hosting the Fan Early Morning Show and possibly talking about this Rose Bowl that is now a 3-score game near halftime. Indiana on the verge of going up 17-0, so they could be the first team that gets a bye in the college football playoff era that wins. So far, teams are 0-6. Coming out of the bye. I will be in the 10-2 slot tomorrow for a Football Friday, and I will have our guy Austin Bechtold with me behind the glass, and Austin will be hosting after me tonight from 6 until 10:35. Around 5:30 on Thursdays, that means it is time for TRT, Total Request Thursday, And Dom, this came down to a dead heat. Four topics were up for grabs. One of them was a Rose Bowl update. That only got 15.4%. New Year's movies. That only got 14.5%. And we have ourselves a tie. 35% of the vote going to two different potential topics. And I will let you break the tie on this. The first topic, primetime games. The second topic, home of old WWE content.
What do you think I'm going to pick?
Of old WWE content.
That's the winner, baby. That's what we're talking about.
And if you are following along on our YouTube stream and in the YouTube chat, there is a very good conversation going on about old wrestling content in there. So maybe those folks will be tuned in on this conversation. So that has been a question since we found out that the content library that was once on WWE Network that then got moved to Peacock a few years ago. Once we found out that at the end of 2025, which was yesterday, that library would be moving on to somewhere else, it's been a big question mark. Will it go to Netflix for everybody? Will it go to YouTube for everybody? Will it go to the new ESPN app for everybody? So for international fans, and if we happen to have any international listeners on the YouTube stream or on our Odyssey app, Netflix has become the primary home for most of the WWE library outside of the U.S. But for fans in the United States, it appears that there's still not an answer for us, Dom.
Yeah, I mean, this is a major issue because, first of all, you take Raw off of USA and you put it on a streaming service. Whatever. Makes things more confusing, but okay, I get it. Well, now you're making it even more confusing to get more content that most people want to see, which is the old crap. And it was already a little complicated with it being on Peacock, but we all got used to it, and that's where we saw everything. And now they just take it off, no warning, and nobody knows where it is now. No idea. So now, most of the stuff that I watch, I don't really watch it live anymore. I just watch things from whenever I grew up watching it. And I'm sure it's the same way for you. So this is a disaster.
So the answer seems like it will be multiple different platforms. Of course, just making it as difficult as possible. So there are reports out there that there is classic programming coming to Netflix because Netflix in the United States has apparently updated its coming this week category that includes several WWE archived events, which includes, you know, old events like No Mercy, Great American Bash, Invasion, St. Valentine's Day Massacre. We're talking stuff that's not all WWE, too. It falls under the umbrella of WCW, ECW, things that go way back to the 80s. One Night Only. You brought this one up yesterday, Dom. Great Balls of Fire. That's going to be in there. But it also appears that the YouTube channels for both WWE and WCW, their vault channels, will also carry a lot of old content. So it will just be a matter of, I guess, what you want to watch. But here's what hurts. If you try to find something specific that we don't know right now if it's on either of these, maybe it's just a random episode of Raw from way back when. Maybe it's a historic episode. Maybe it's like the first ever draft that they had way back in 2002, which, by the way, took place in State College. I don't know if I can just go somewhere and find that now. Will they have that entire library? Will they have 1,500 plus episodes of that on Netflix? Will they have it on YouTube? I don't know. And that also will pretty much require people to get the YouTube premium, pay for that so it doesn't have the ads, or else you will be sitting through ads every 90 seconds. And I'm not exaggerating. If you have ever tried to watch anything from an official WWE page on YouTube, the ads just make it nearly unwatchable. So you'll have to add that to your list of streaming services.
But what I don't get is, because old episodes of Raw is a lot of what I watch. The other day I wanted to watch Raw 1000 from 2012.
Yes.
And I couldn't find it anywhere. If Netflix is the home of current present day live Raw, how in the world do they not have the entire archive of the show? That makes no sense.
So I'm going to go to the WWE vault here on YouTube. I'm just going to have it pulled up in here and see what they have. Now, I mean, it's not that they don't have good stuff on here, but they will really have to organize this well, and I'm sure they can do that. And it does seem like they have put a lot of videos already on here. Old Saturday night main events on here, some documentaries that are already on here. It does look pretty similar as I'm scrolling through to a lot of the things that we saw on Peacock.
Is it like main pay-per-views though, or are we doing the weird, you know, off-brand pay-per-views?
Yeah, like I'm not seeing like a spot where it just has every pay-per-view.
All right, so we're right back to where we began, and now we're even more confused. This is a disaster.
Yeah, it's annoying. Like, this is something now I'm going to have to look through. You know, not that there's bad content on here, but it's pretty annoying now. Like, they should just make a playlist that you can go to on the WWE vault, and maybe somebody on the chat can direct me there, that you can just easily go to, boom, there's every SummerSlam ever, every WrestleMania, every Survivor Series, every Vengeance, Armageddon, all of the pay-per-views, like you had with the network, like you had on Peacock. It was so easy. You went right to it. You would click on WrestleMania. It would say, what, like 42 episodes available, and you would scroll through. Hey, which WrestleMania do I want to watch? Now it seems like that's going to be a challenge, and that's annoying to me. Maybe it'll be on Netflix. Like, it seems like it's half and half. It just doesn't seem like it's all together where it could make this easy.
You know, if Vince was in charge, I think this would be figured out in a heartbeat.
I mean, there were some things that he seemed to be ahead of the curve on and kind of have figured out in a pretty good way. So, like, here, I will say this. You have on the WWE vault popped up the first thing on the page, WrestleMania 24 in its entirety, 3 hours and 50 minutes. That's the one that was Ric Flair's final match against Shawn Michaels, for instance. Survivor Series 1991. That is when The Undertaker beat Hulk Hogan for the championship. Halloween Havoc 1998. That was infamous in WCW. Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, they had a complete disregard to the clock, if you will. Their match went way too long. Do you know about this? Do you know about this event?
No, it sounds like something that would happen with Starkey.
Yes. So the main event of that show was Goldberg against DDP for the World Heavyweight Championship, the big gold belt, the greatest title belt in wrestling history. And Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior had a match earlier in the show, and they just went several minutes too long. Because, of course, Hulk Hogan, you know, he would never, you know, he would never try to flex his power. So then they get to the main event, and this is back when it truly was a pay-per-view, and they only had a certain time constraint on that pay-per-view. Say it was 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. They get about 3 minutes into the match of Goldberg and DDP, pay-per-view ends. Everybody at home misses the finish. So they had to, I believe, show the match in its entirety the next night on Nitro.
I've never heard of this before.
Yes.
It's like a Sopranos ending.
So actually, now that spurs something up, they better have somewhere that you can easily find the Monday Night War. That documentary series, it's like, what, 12 or 14 episodes? That's one of the best things I've ever watched, bar none. Like, that's one of the more well-done documentary series I've ever seen on any subject. So I hope they have that somewhere.
Was that on Peacock originally?
They had it on the net. They had it on WWE Network. Then they had it on Peacock, very easily accessible. They had a good series on the Ruthless Aggression era, the one that I grew up watching.
So what happened to the WWE Network? Is that just by the wayside?
Yeah, that whole library went to Peacock. And they pretty much took everything. Like I can't really think of many things that went from WWE Network to Peacock and they didn't have. Like, that was a transition that I was a little bit worried about at the time. But then everything was there and it was easily accessible. Now I'm hoping that they can figure this out for us sooner rather than later, because we are also getting awfully close to the NFL offseason. And as you know, if you're a listener out there, during the football season, we will spend our prep time with an old football game in the background. When it's the offseason, we go into wrestling mode, baby. I will toss on an old pay-per-view. We're getting into Royal Rumble territory. I'll toss on an old Royal Rumble. I mean, we're going to need this to be figured out here pretty soon, where I can find a whole library at, because we are coming up on the NFL offseason awfully fast.
Maybe Cabali can pull his weight in WWE and get this figured out for us. He still owes me Michael Cole's phone number, so... You know, that's about 2 years in the making, so it might take a while, but we have an in to the company, Donnie. We should take advantage.
We do, but then Cabali, oddly, like, doesn't seem to really know what's going on the inside. So it's almost like they have a wall put up between themselves and Kaboom. 412-928-9370. Funny comment from our guy, Juicebox. You might follow him on Twitter, Dom. He's a pretty good... Twitter follow when it comes to wrestling. Two funny comments, in fact. He must have been listening yesterday. He said, Dom is going to be pissed when he finds that Fatal 4-Way pay-per-views are not in the WWE vault.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
The other one, and by the way, that Warrior Hogan match was horrific, which I do believe. Ultimate Warrior, most overrated pro wrestler of all time.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Easily for me. Most overrated pro wrestler of all time. That guy, you want to talk about entrance merchants? Kind of like how Jey Uso is now. That's kind of what people say about him. The entrance is a bigger deal than anything else. Ultimate Warrior. He is the poster child of that. If you want to disagree, you can tune in on our YouTube chat, a red-hot chat going, talking about old pro wrestling. That leads us into our buddy Austin Bechtold at 6 o'clock. Coming up, we have ourselves a hodgepodge, but first, a message from our friend Andrew Filippone. Fan weather, that's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cloudy and cold, low of 15 tonight. Donnie, football in for the guys here on 93.7 The Fan. 10 minutes away from Austin Bechtold. He has the Fan Evening Show tonight, but right now it's time for a hodgepodge of nothingness.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
So, Dom, I'm looking a little bit more on the WWE Vault YouTube page here, and I did find, now this goes back a ways here, but it is full-length events of WWE's golden era from 1985 to 1992. So you have a lot of old stuff in there that you can go back and check out at some point. But I'm still struggling to find full length programs of just like weekly shows or, things closer to our time. I mean, it's cool to go back and watch some of the old stuff, kind of, those guys laying the groundwork. If you ever have a chance to go back and watch like the first WrestleMania, I highly suggest you do that. The event that started it all, and just see how it has changed, but also stayed the same over the course of time. But I'm going to have to dig more into this at some point. I'm going to have to hop on Netflix soon enough to see what kind of selection we're looking at there. The YouTube chat has been on fire since we've started talking about this, which is funny. Some reaction to my comment about the Ultimate Warrior being the ultimate entrance merchant, most overrated pro wrestler of all time. Some conversation about Macho Man Randy Savage. They're not even in the same stratosphere as far as I'm concerned. Randy Savage was 100 times the performer to me than Ultimate Warrior was. Because, yeah, he had a very big-time and outgoing entrance, but the guy was masterful in the ring. I mean, Ultimate Warrior was just a jacked-up dude. He ran into the ring. He was already gassed by the time he got there. He's shaking the ropes, and then the bell rang. And that's when everything went south. Randy Savage would transcend generations. You watch a match of his from the 80s, and he'd be a dude who can hang around with the, more of the high-flying attacks that you would see today. So that's just a little comment I have on that. But yeah, some digging needs to be done here to find out what we are working with. And something we didn't even get into a ton was that their move to ESPN for the premium live events, that's been rough so far. Because at first, I'm a YouTube TV subscriber. That's what we use. At first, I was told, oh, well, don't worry. If you have ESPN and you have YouTube TV, you'll be able to sign up for this app at a discounted rate. Apparently, that's not the case. I don't want to pay $30 a month to watch, a premium live event when I'm not even watching it at a diehard level the way I used to. Yeah, I'll watch the big ones. The big four, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. But I could always just go to a buddy's house and just hope that they have this like I did back in the day.
So all of these big pay-per-views, because I watch the big ones, Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, where are they going to be at? Is it
to
ESPN?
To watch live?
Yeah.
ESPN.
And that's the only place.
I don't know what happens to them after that. I don't know if Great. They just stay in the... I don't know if they just stay in the ESPN log or if they will eventually go to Netflix or how that will work. But
yeah, this
if
sucks.
You want to watch it live, like the Royal Rumble at the end of this month, if you want to watch that live, you have to go and get the ESPN app for that.
Yeah, that sucks. That's so inconvenient, by the way. They already made Raw inconvenient.
Yeah.
Now they're making these pay-per-views inconvenient. This sucks.
The thing is, I'll actually give Netflix credit. It does run pretty smoothly, and it's something that I already had, so I didn't think it was like that big of a deal.
Yeah, sure. I liked when it was on USA. I liked the commercial breaks. I liked the vibe. I don't know. It just was better when it was on cable.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in the day when it was on TNN and then Spike. That was a time. That was a time to be alive. SmackDown on UPN. SmackDown on UPN hit different, my friend. That was the best time of SmackDown.
No. SmackDown on Sci-Fi was the best era of SmackDown.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree on that one. And I feel like most of our friends in the YouTube chat will agree with me. Taz, Michael Cole was at his best with SmackDown on UPN. The Ruthless Aggression era of SmackDown was a great one. All right, Dom. Good talk. Thank you to the folks that joined the conversation. Thank you for a very lively YouTube chat today as well. Maybe you watch the show live on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. You can follow along there. Thank you to Jason Mackey, Bob Pompiani, Nick Farabaugh, Steve Palazzolo, Ray Fittipaldo, and a thank you to you, Dom, for your hard work behind the glass. Austin Bechtold is next on 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Ford.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.